Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the 16th and only 16th episode of Tavern Tussle. Does your adventuring party really have a true foe? Did you know that DMs are players too? Well, you are about to find out all that and more in this week's Tavern Tussle. Let's go! We are back, ladies and gentlemen, and by we, I mean me. As always, I am your host, Cam Bams, and I am joined by me, myself, and nobody. Some things came up. Karateka was unable to make it, but I am here for everyone involved. And a lot of you there are. So let's just start the show by saying thank you very much, because we passed 250 unique downloads. That is exciting. That means that at least 250 of you are listening to us week in and week out. So that might not seem like a big number to a lot of you, but when you're used to one or two people listening to the things you do, and those one or two people happen to be your best friend and your fiance, it matters. Okay, so thank you to each and every one of you very, very much. You're not all following us on Twitter. What's up with that? I don't know what's going on. Just kidding. We love you. But speaking about Twitter, how many of you guys enjoyed our daily Twitter theme so far? So far, it's been Monday and Tuesday. Monday was Monster Monday with the Gym Rat Goblin. Seemed to be getting a lot of good feedback from that. One More Rep is a hit with the ladies, if you will. No, it's a... Yeah, it was fun to make. It's fun, you know, having the Gym Rat Goblin out there for everyone using their campaigns. So let us know how you use them. And then Talent Tuesday was sent out to DM Teru at Teruko6. This guy is a very talented artist, I think. He does custom character sheets. It was really cool to see what he was able to do with a standard character sheet and then adding custom character art on top of it. So go and check him out if you are inclined for something like that. His pricing construction on commissions is very, very affordable. So yeah, Thursdays. I know we said that Thursdays were going to be thirsty Thursdays where we're going to get boozy and stuff, but that requires way too much money and way too much drinking for family men such as us. So Thursdays are now going to be D&D Trivia Thursday. So look out for that tomorrow. If you're listening to this on Wednesday when the show airs, we might have prizes. Depending on the strength of questions and the strength of response we get on Twitter. So we'll see. Right now, it's just for fun. So look out for Trivia Thursdays. Not Thirsty Thursdays. Brain Thirst Thursdays, if you will. And then, of course, Friday is still Fail Friday. Waterdeep Dragon Heist is coming up. It's available on D&D Beyond on September 7th. Available everywhere else. September 18th. Well, I guess your local game store will also get on the 7th, but that's not important because D&D Beyond is amazing. Use D&D Beyond more. So I'm saying, I bought the Legendary Edition with my fiance and we have not turned it back. We use it every week. It is amazing. It's just nice being able to have pretty much everything released for D&D 5th Edition right there at your fingertips whenever you want it, as long as you have data or internet connection. Yes, they just need to move the character sheets to an app, and then I will be a lot happier not having to log into a browser to view my characters because I hit back a lot, and it just sends you back to the character selection screen. But anyway, yeah, come on, D&D Beyond. You can do it. Make an app of my character sheet. Thank you. So this week, the big topic, what is Cam Bams going to tackle? I'll tell you what I'm going to tackle. Your villains and your villains... Now your villings. What are villings? Like when villains get fillings at the dentist. Oh, my teeth hurt. I need villings. Evil teeth. Anyway, stopping that right now. Your villains in your campaign are boring. your characters go through a dungeon, they kill everybody, they get rewarded, they go to the next town, you know, they go into a forest, they kill everybody, blah, blah. Okay, look, that's old hat. DMs are players just as much as players are players. The only part is they play multiple characters, not just one. But at the same time, the DM needs that role-playing outlet. They need a character they can call theirs. Like, this character is me. I am diametrically opposed to the party. What would I do in this situation? Not just, oh, okay, I'm looking at the vampire stat block. He has this available to him. He'll probably do this. No, actually flesh out, develop a villain. Make him your character. Make it interesting. Make it stand out. You know, do something different. And you don't have to look far for motivation for this. You can go to many, many resources in developing a better villain. Now, it is a little different than making a player character, because those, they'll have like their motivations in line, all that stuff. You know, it's kind of like, we don't know where this is going kind of thing. I'm just going to make this character and then we'll trend as the story goes along. My character will change over time. You don't always want that with a villain, because then it muddies the water of your story too much. So the best way, in my opinion, to create a villain character that a DM can be proud of is just look at tried and true tropes. Any film or movie major in college, anyone who studies television will tell you that there are tried and true tropes that movies and TV overuse all the time, and they always pay off. You look at any Marvel movie, you look at, you know, Batman comics, you look at the Ninja Turtles TV cartoon show. The villains are using tropes. They're not breaking new ground. You know, these are things just like the hero's journey. How a good fantasy novel follows the hero's journey. It tells you exactly what's going to happen in a kind of vague outline. Well, villains are the same way. There's not an original villain these days because every idea has been taken already. That concept is out there in the universe. But you can take these tropes, you can apply them to a villain, and they'll have tremendous payoff in your game because your party will not expect it. They're like, wow, you put a lot of thought into that villain. Like, that was really fun to go up against. It was really fun to encounter. When really, you're just like, I based him on this character from this movie, blah, blah. But most D&D players aren't used to that. They're used to going through a dungeon, killing A and B, getting blah, blah. Like, it, you know, the list goes on and on. But actually making a unique villain character that your players will remember for years to come adds so much depth and drama to your D&D game. So, I wouldn't be a good podcast host if I didn't go through some of these tropes with you. So, we're going to go through some of them. Now, you can look on any kind of movie or television website that like goes in depth to like storylines and character arcs, and you will find a great number of tropes that a villain or a hero can follow. You can also find this in a lot of literature studies when they break down character foils and stuff like that. Like, this by no means is the end-all be-all list of character tropes to use for villains. This is just some that I think are easiest to start out with. So let's get into those. The first one is probably the most relatable one. Now, you see it all the time, and that's the arch enemy. So basically, the arch enemy is a villain who is diametrically opposed to what your party's goal or mission is. So basically, your party wants to do A, well, the villain now wants to do B. You know, like, it's like G.I. Joe and Cobra, you know? One's basically a terrorist cell doing this, and one's a military group doing this. The biggest example of the arch enemy conundrum is Batman and the Joker. They are the same, but extremely, extremely different in the way they go about things. Like, the arch enemy is
that person who is the direct foil of your player party or player character. And it's very, very easy to create that just from seeing your players play through the game, see how they do things, you know, look at what they're doing, how they view the world, and you can create a foil to either one player or the entire party in the form of a group. And that's the arch enemy conundrum is what I'm calling it. It's very easy to do, and it adds flavor because then your players have more of a reason to go after this villain than they did if, oh, he's just at the end of a dungeon, blah, blah, blah. Another trope that is, some may find this a little worrisome to use. It may not sit well with a lot of DMs and stuff, just having to roleplay this kind of person. But I find it interesting from a psychology point of view of like really getting into the mind of someone like this. And this is the complete monster. So this is a villain who you love to hate him because he or she is so evil. They need to be stopped. Like, this character is truly heinous by the standards of the story. And they make no attempt to, you know, be presented in any kind of positive way ever. Like, this person is evil incarnate. And they're always serious. You know, they evoke fear any chance they get. And just, your party should be, like, should feel revulsion and hatred whenever this character enters the scene. Like, they should have an emotional, you know, reaction to this character entering the storyline. And the complete monster is also completely devoid of altruistic qualities. I mean, they show no regret for any evil they've committed. In fact, they revel in it. And a character that evil and that unfeeling, like, that'll stick with your players. They'll be like, wow, we need to kill this guy. Like, the world is a better place without this guy. Like, it's that level of villainy, basically, where you're just like, no, like, this is not okay. This guy literally just kicked a puppy in front of me for no reason. He is a bastard. He should die. Which brings us to a more lighthearted villain, which I think is probably one of my favorite villains to run in a D&D campaign because no one ever sees it coming. And that's the likable villain. And there are a couple, you know, ways to do a likable villain. You know, and one of that is, you know, that magnificent, glorious person who is also evil. So they are charming, they are sexy, and they are evil. You know, they are magnificent in every way. Like, if your party wasn't, you know, good aligned, they might just side with this guy because he is so likable. It's just like, man, like, he gets all the guys and girls and, you know, he does what he wants and he looks so good doing it. He's like Fabio burning down orphanages and stuff. It just feels weird to hate him because I love him. And that's just, it's like Gaston from Beauty and the Beast. Like, yeah, everyone hates Gaston, but you gotta admit, like, he was a pretty likable villain because no one does stuff like Gaston. I thought about singing the song, but I refuse. So yeah, another likable villain is someone who's doing what they're doing for someone they love. So this kind of goes to someone like Mr. Freeze from Batman. Like, no one ever hates Mr. Freeze. You know, no one's ever like, man, that guy is so terrible. Like, he's trying to save his wife. You know, he has very legitimate intentions in what he's doing. He's just going about it in a different way. Like, they don't have evil intent. They may be doing evil things to help out someone or something they love. And that makes a very weird villain for the party to come in contact with. You know, they're tracking down this necromancer who's doing all these terrible things to all these bodies, and then you find out that, you know, like, yeah, like, his wife and child were taken by him, or taken from him. You know, he's just trying to find a way to bring them back, like, to normal, not to be some undead thing, you know, and it's a weird thing, you know, how does your party react when they find that out, kind of thing. And then he's like, he goes from this evil necromancer to like, oh, I kind of understand, you know, he's a likable villain. I get it. I don't want to kill him now, kind of thing. And then one I think you can have the most fun with is the comedic villain. So here we're talking about Skeletor from He-Man. We're talking about Dr. Evil from Austin Powers. Like, this guy is such a bad villain that he's more of comedy relief, or he's more of this thorn in the side of the party instead of being the big bad evil guy. Like, this is definitely the villain I would throw at my party if we just finished a big story arc and we're in between, you know, two big story points. Is throw out, you know, like the villain with sharks with laser beams on their head kind of thing. He's just funny. Like, his plans are so bad they fail without the party doing anything. Like, he thinks he's so smart, but he's like an idiot. And this is all basically for flavor. Like, there's going to be no challenge in hunting down this villain. There's going to be, you know, no big payoff for getting rid of him. Unless, you know, like, he's an idiot villain who has taken over a town of idiots kind of thing. You can throw that in there somewhere. But yeah, the comedic villain really is just something that's different. You know, it's not some big encroaching catastrophic event that's going to destroy a city or the world. Like, it's this dude who is, like, just super greedy, but he's dumb. And for some reason, people follow him. You know, like, that's the comedic villain. And it's just something you can play around with, you know. Just if one session, you know, you really don't have a lot planned, blah, blah, then just have a little comedic villain storyline in your back pocket. Just plop that down and be like, yeah, that happened. Yeah, and your players might have a good time. And maybe you could even run one-shots with comedic villains just because it's something fun to do. You know, there's more flavor to that than just be like, okay, there's an evil man, we need to stop him, and we're done. You know, just playing around with it a little bit. And then the last trope that I'll go over is supervillains. Now, these guys are like the most powerful villains. So we're talking Strahd from Curse of Strahd. You don't just walk up to him and take him down whenever you want. Like, you have to go on a quest to get things to help you, because he is a super villain. These villains should always be more powerful than the party until the party get to a certain point. There should not be an easy way to take these villains out. These guys are, you know, like the Lex Luthor to the Superman. Like, they are not just going to go away easily. And there should be big, big payoffs for taking out these supervillains. And there should be very, very big negatives that come when you don't take out the supervillains. And they're going to have an army of followers because they are so powerful. And most supervillains are not even going to notice the party when the adventure first starts out. Like, the party may be aware of him because he's so evil and super, but he's not going to care. Like, his minions deal with adventurers like your party. Like, that doesn't matter. And that'll make your party hate him even more. If he doesn't even care about them, and they just saved a village from his minions, you know, blah, blah, blah. Like, what do you mean you don't care about me? I just turned your whole operation apart. And then it turns out he has 27 other operations that are doing the exact same thing. It's one of those villains that, like, that's the long con. That's the big story arc. That's, you know, from level 1 to level 10 kind of villain. Kind of overarching. This is the big bad evil guy. This is the super villain. And then just some bonus things you can do with villains if you want to make it interesting. You could take a dead party member and turn them into a bad guy. Say they were, they didn't actually die and the party like left them behind. I mean, don't like let the party see them die and then say he never died, blah, blah, blah. Like, no, like have him fall off a cliff or have a building fall on him. Like if that happens to one of your party members, like you could turn him, like talk to the person and make sure it's not just going to like destroy their view over their character and stuff. But yeah, having a dead party member come back for revenge makes a very interesting villain because the party knows so much about them and they know so much about the party that they can use it against them. And it's just a very interesting dynamic. And if the player who played the party member is down for it, then that can be a very, very interesting storyline. Another villain that usually catches parties off guard, and this is one that I like to use. I probably use it too much. And so, like, people that I play with are probably like, yeah, he's probably going to do this. Like, I like this guy now, but he's going to stab us in the back. And that's take an important NPC from early in the game, like someone who, you know, helped the party do something for a long time, or like someone the party always goes to for information, something like that. Like, an important NPC that the party relies on to some extent, and make them the villain. Like, this will take a little bit more figuring out and a lot more prep, but turning a friendly NPC into a villain later on in the story, like it pays off dividends because you'll get the initial emotional reaction from the party. You'll have like, you know, those stages of like denial and grief and anger and all that stuff, and all boiled into just your choice of villain. Like, yeah, that barmaid who serves you ale every week and you tell everything that's going on. Yeah, she secretly is, you know, selling secrets to the supervillain. She's a double agent. It's terrible. It's sad. I know. You know, like, play around with it. Like, think about an NPC your party uses all the time. Like, if you watch Critical Role, imagine if Pumat Soul was a bad guy. How badass that would be. I mean, I don't know about badass is the right word, but that would be interesting, and I would be hooked. Just saying. Pumat Soul is going to be a bad guy. Called it here. August 22nd, 3 p.m. There we go. So, yeah, take these things and run with them, you know? Make a DM villain character that is just more interesting. You know, you don't have to do the same old D&D, you know, homebrew adventures. Like, you can spice it up and catch your players off guard. And if you're a player, then why don't you throw out, you know, the idea of a player-run villain? You know, we've talked about this before. Like, someone can't make it to your game kind of thing, or they're across the country, or they have a baby, or something like that. Like, they cannot play in your game anymore. Well, it's very easy for them to play a villain from afar. You know, you relate to them what's happening in the game, and they will role-play and tell you what the villain is doing. And it takes a load off the DM a little bit, and it, you know, involves your friend, and it's fun. You know, flesh out your villains. Don't have them be so paper thin. You know, they're more than just paper and dice. And it'll make your experience as a DM even more enjoyable. So, yes. That was my one-man monologue on making villains more exciting in your Dungeons and Dragons or Pathfinder or Numenera games. I know I said a lot of tabletop games that we don't talk about. But yeah. This show usually is geared toward D&D 5th edition, but I have been looking at Pathfinder 2nd edition. So if you guys have any experience with that, you know, tweet at us. Let us know how you're liking it, because I did download the rules, so I'm thinking about it. But we will see. There's just too many games and too little time. That is our life. So I know this is a very short show. I thank you so much again for downloading us and listening to us every week. If you want to reach out to us, please email us taverntussle@gmail.com. If you are more of a tweeter, then you can reach us at taverntussle on Twitter. But yes, I hope you have enjoyed my short but important episode this week. From the bottom of my heart, I thank you. And I'm sure wherever Karateka is, his cold, dark recess is aching, and a single tear was wept. Again, thank you, and I hope you have a wonderful week.